day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. There's a call to look at God's law. What Joshua had at that time is only the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he was called to not let that word depart from his mouth, but think about it. The implication is to read it and to dwell upon it day and night, just all the time, meditating upon it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There is a benefit of reading the Bible. Another one comes in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There's a contrast of the blessed man is the one who doesn't walk in the way of sinners, but instead takes God's law, and by implication, application, extension, right, the Bible, and he meditates upon it day and night. Just like Joshua was commanded to do with the law. You shall meditate on it day and night. This is the man who does meditate on it day and night. Why does he meditate on it day and night? Because it's his delight. It's what he delights in. And then verses 3 and 4 speak about just what the benefits are, the blessings of that. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. He's the tree that is just there through thick and thin. He's got his continual water source. Even in the dry times, the rivers always run. And he's going to be there. He's going to be like a tree planted firmly. The blessing of reading the Bible, thinking about it, delighting in it. You'll be a strong, steady believer, follower of Christ. As opposed to the wicked, verse 4 says, the wicked are like chaff that the wind drives away. This is like the plastic bag, if you will, of our society. That just whoosh, blows away, as opposed to that solid maple tree in your yard. So, the blessings of reading God's Word, thinking upon God's Word, you can either be like a tree or like a tumbleweed. There's the blessing of reading the Bible, the benefits of reading the Bible. I just have one more for you. We could pull more. We're going to just pull this one. Psalm 19, beginning verse 7. After speaking the glory of God, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Those words kind of follow this same pattern. The blank of the Lord is blank, and it does something. Whether it's the law of the Lord, or the testimony of the Lord, or the precepts of the Lord, or the commandment of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, the rules of the Lord, whether they are perfect and sure and right and pure and clean and true, and they all do something. The blessing of reading the Bible is that you're reading this perfect law. That's, again, this is the psalmist writing back to the law, what was there before. By extension, it speaks to us and the Scripture. You're reading this perfect word, which does what? It revives the soul. It takes your soul and it stirs you afresh. It revives. It gives life. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple one who's like just going his own way. But he can be made wise if he but reads and applies the Word of God, the blessings and benefit of reading the Word. And then it says, verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. God's Word is to be desired as a chocolate bar, sweeter than honey. The drippings of the honeycomb, the sweetest thing that they had back then. This is whatever you like, whether Skittles is your plan or M&M's is what you fancy in, that's what God's Word is and ought to be like. More desired than that. And it comes to our soul, and it's sort of like it's desirous like junk food, but it does like real food in our hearts and our souls. Those are but a few of the texts that speak about the benefits of reading the Bible. We could go more. We're not going to. But the title of my message this morning is Read Through the Bible. I want you to know and experience these blessings. Now, think about my title. My title is an applicational title, meaning my title is what I'm trying to apply to you all. Like you say, okay, you go home. Like, what was, you talk to your children. They're here, what was Pastor Steve's sermon about? Well, he wants us to read through the Bible. Like, there it is. Boom. And the rest of my message this morning is going to be talking and pounding that theme. At Rock Valley Bible Church, read through the Bible. Now, on the one hand, this is the most basic of all applications. Any preacher knows that in any sermon, if he's looking for an application, he can always fall back on two things. Well, you need to read your Bible more, or you need to pray more. Right? You need to read your Bible and pray. These are the most common, most basic, most important applications we have as believers in Christ. The Bible feeds us, and prayer cultivates our relationship with the Lord. The Bible feeds us and strengthens us and nourishes us what it is we are to believe, what it is that we are to do. And prayer is a way in which we are strengthened in those manners, and we pour out our heart to God, and God communes with us. There's no greater application in all the Bible, really, than those two, because those two, right, fuel all your Christian life. And this morning, we're going to focus only on one of them, read the Bible. But notice my application this morning. I have another word there. It's not just read the Bible and pray. It's not just read the Bible. There's another important word there. What's the important word, Jack? Do you see it? It's read. Maybe you don't got it. Who's got it? Through the Bible. My exhortation this morning isn't just to read the Bible. My exhortation, which is good, right? But I want you to think about reading through the Bible. In other words, this morning, I'm not merely calling you to open your Bible even every day and just read this or read this. Or read this, or read something that directs you to this, and then this, and then this. I want you to read this, and then 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 this, and that's what I want you to do. Rock Valley Bible Church, read through the Bible. Even the difficult things, like Leviticus. Even the yucky things, like Judges, right, Yvonne? Her least favorite book in all the Bible. I want you to read the Bible broadly. I want you to read it start to finish. I want you to read sections that you aren't familiar with. I want you to read sections that are difficult, that you don't understand. It's okay if you don't understand them. I want you to read at such a pace that... Oops, I'm sorry. That you don't just read along and then stop and then, oh, what's this about? And then spend all your time here, because there's a way in which when you read through things, by the time you get to the end, the beginning has been made clear. I remember before being advised about reading Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards lived in the 1700s, a great pastor, theologian, and was advised when you read Edwards, just keep reading Edwards. Because you got to read and read and read until you kind of get into his flow and get into his verbiage and you start understanding and you start embracing. Maybe like Shakespeare as well. When you read Shakespeare, you ought to just read Shakespeare. Like the old Elizabethan English. The more you read, the more you read, the more easy it becomes. Rather than stopping at every word, stopping to figure out everything. Just read through the Bible. Now, obviously, there isn't only one way to read the Bible. You can read the Bible, and you can, and to much profit, in many small portions. You can read a single verse of the Bible to your great profit, especially if you think about that verse and meditate on that verse. You just think about the blessings in Psalm 1 and in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Where's the blessing come? It doesn't come in reading. It comes in meditating and thinking. And Psalm 1 doesn't come in just knowing, it comes in applying. And so as you think deeply about what you read, perhaps memorizing what you read, never underestimate the value that even a single verse might have in your life. During times of temptation, a verse may pop in your mind and may trigger some truth to help you turn away from your sin. Maybe you're looking at something you shouldn't look at. And Job 31:1 pops into your mind. I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then can I sin and gaze at a virgin? Boom. Never underestimate the value and the help that memorizing a single verse of Scripture will help you with. Your coworkers ask you to join you. Come, join us. We're going to go here. And we're going to do this. And then 1 Corinthians 15:33 comes to mind. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I should not go with them because they're bad company. And for me to go with them corrupts good morals. And I cannot do that. And it protects you from some temptation and sin that peer pressure might pull you through. Or you're far from home, away from all accountability. And Bing, Proverbs 15:3 comes to mind. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, looking upon the good and the evil. And realizing that though you may be away from accountability, and though your wife and family and church and pastor has no idea what you're doing, God knows exactly what you're doing. And that thought alone might help you. These are single verses that can be memorized, that can be super helpful in your life. And I would commend that. In my exhortation today, I'm not saying nothing else, right? I'm just emphasizing this kind of reading today, though saying there's lots of different kinds of reading. You can read small. Psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I stored up in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've taken your word, I've memorized it, I've put it in my heart so I might not sin against you, because it's with me all the time, wherever I go. There's your word. I'm thinking about it, meditating on it. Wherever I'm going, stored in my heart, that when I encounter the various things of life, I might not sin against you because I have your word in my heart that I'm meditating on. And it's there to remind me to go off like firecrackers or alarms when things are going astray in my life. A single verse can be super helpful in your life. Furthermore, there are single chapters in the Bible that can have a great effect upon your soul as well. Think about Psalm 23, probably the best known psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That chapter has been a comfort to many, many people through many, many millennia. Just think about, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God's going to care for me in financial hardship. I can trust that God is my shepherd. I'm not going to lack anything. He's going to care for me. Or other things, right? Times of stress, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me sit and lie still, even when so much is going on. Even in the holiday frenzy, Psalm 23 can help. Just that psalm alone, that psalm can direct you in times of confusion because you know God guides me in the paths of righteousness. Of course, this psalm is often read at funerals. Times of grief. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when my loved ones have passed away, God will be with us. Even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will uphold me. And this hope, first Sunday of Advent, hope, it gives us hope. Trusting in God's goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. And these are but just a few of the applications of one chapter of the Bible that you could give many, many. If you only had Psalm 23 and you were in some Nazi concentration camp, it would be sufficient to sustain you. You can read the Bible a verse at a time, a chapter at a time. And this is just one chapter. Consider other chapters. Psalm 51 or Psalm 32, speaking about the glory of forgiveness that comes with repentance. Psalm 95 that teaches about worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the God of our salvation. Let us come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. There's times for rejoicing. There's times for humiliation in worship, but let's not harden our hearts. Psalm 95 is a good Psalm 139 of the omniscience and omnipresence of God, which is a comfort to us, that He knows us and is with us. There are chapters in the Bible, like the great Romans 8. That's a great chapter. Give you a stability to your soul. Isaiah 40 gives you a picture of God that you can meditate on. Isaiah 53 speaks about Jesus, prophesying of Jesus. Luke 15 is a great chapter to remind you of the gospel of the prodigal son who goes away. Ephesians 2 reminds you of the greatness of God's grace. And reading these chapters over and over and over and over again have a way to nourish your soul. And if you just even took those chapters and you said, you know what, this year I'm just going to read the great chapters. And if I gave you like 15 chapters, 30 chapters to read, read a chapter every day, I could give you these key chapters and that would be wonderful for your soul. But that's not what I'm exhorting you to today. I'm exhorting you today to read through the Bible. You can read just a verse, you can read through chapters, you can even read books of the Bible. I mean, we model this Sunday morning when we are going through the Gospel of John and just over and over and over again, slowly through the whole book, taking 2 years to go through one book. Now, there's a reason I do. I'm trying to teach you how to read the Bible. But it is good and profitable to just say, you know what, this month of December, I'm going to make Luke chapter 1 and 2. I'm just going to stay there, and you read those chapters. Or you just say, you know what, just some Ephesians. I'm going to make Ephesians my deal in December, and you read Ephesians every day. All these would be good for your soul. Super helpful. Also, just even to know bigger things, like stories of the life of Jesus. Or the book of Acts, just to know the book of Acts really well. Super helpful to know the epistles and any book, you know, any book in the Bible, it's super helpful for you to know and to know well. But that's not what I'm exhorting you today. If you're doing those things and you say, you know what, I got this plan and this plan is working for me, then wonderful. And continue on with your life and that's great. I just want to give you a vision for something different. However you intake the Bible, big or small, it's helpful for you. And I know that many of you do that on a daily basis. You come to read your Bibles consistently. If anything, I just want you to read your Bibles consistently. I've seen the fruit that comes from your lives of consistent Bible reading. So I've talked to you, I've been encouraged by that. But this morning, I want to advocate for you to take into account all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation to read through the Bible, read everything in the Bible. And my exhortation to you comes out of personal experience. As many of you know, I took a sabbatical. Elders asked Steve, would you like to take a sabbatical? I said, let me pray. Yes, I would. And I was given a summer off. It was helpful to me and my soul, helpful to Yvonne and our marriage. And I remember Brian Mulder, you told me, he said, you know what, we have no expectations on you other than you go away and you just rest. And I wasn't expecting, oftentimes pastors take sabbaticals and go on some writing project or there's some thing. I had no expectations, but as came out of that, I did do a project. And that was, during 3 months away, reading through the entire book of the Bible, and I've summarized, here it is. I summarized every chapter in the Bible, all 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I just went through and I'd write them down, and then what I did was I edited them, typed them up, and put them in a booklet. And here's a booklet, and this is super helpful to me. It fell out of my Bible, it's always in my Bible, just so that anytime there's a chapter, I can go and see how I summarize that chapter. And I artificially limited myself to say, okay, I've only got one book. That's Deuteronomy right there. That's Numbers right there. And here's Joshua. I had room for a map down there, and then there's Judges, and Ruth could fit down here because it's small. And every page, every book of the Bible fits on at least one page. Except the Psalms, 150 chapters, I gave 4 pages to that. And I found this to be super helpful to me. Just as I read through all the Scripture and was forced to really think about each chapter and wrote them down, and with this booklet in hand, I thought, you know what, this might be helpful if other people would do this as well. So in 2021, I invited some guys to just read through the whole Scripture with me, and Yvonne invited some gals as well, and we read through the Bible. The assignment was basically to summarize what you've read. Now, sometimes going through the Bible in a whole year was too much to summarize, So maybe just the New Testament reading was summarized, or just Psalms summarized, and that was totally fine. But after reading the Bible in 2021, finding it so profitable, said we're going to do it again. And people who'd summarized and maybe missed in their reading some was able in 2022 to pick it up that next time. And in 2022, we invited everyone from the church to come if you'd like to join one of these groups. And most of those who joined the first year have joined the second year. Is what we found. We had, by the next time, we had four groups going, two men's groups, two women's groups. And after reading the Bible with a bunch of others in these groups, I wrote this book called My Bible Summaries. And I remember giving all of you a copy of this book. And if you're new, maybe you don't have a copy of this book. I'm trying to give it out as much as I can because I think it's super helpful. Encouraging you to do what I did on the sabbatical. Read the Bible in a year. Write a summary for every chapter. And if you do it again, like if you miss chapters, you can go back and get them again. This book is really just, it's 8 pages of just introduction, and pretty soon runs then into like these pages is what it is. This is my 2024 version. This is just pages of what to write in to write your summaries. And I want to read today from the first pages of this book, which some of you maybe have, I trust, read, because I gave you the book. It's only an 8-page essay. You can read it really quickly. But I begin with this 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 at the top of my page. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then I wrote this, over my 2 decades of ministry, I have trusted in the truth of the above verses. They speak of the power of the scriptures to train believers in righteousness. And I've had the opportunity to watch the word of God teach, reprove, correct, and train people in righteousness, equipping them for every good work. It has greatly encouraged my soul to see scripture work in these ways. But recently, the first two words jumped out at me afresh. Now, recently, this is 4 years ago, right? Recently, all scripture. For years, I assumed that the words simply meant each and every individual verse of the Bible is truly breathed out by God and is profitable for us. And rooted in this belief, I've preached verse by verse through many books. I've witnessed the power of God's word to transform people's lives. And seeing God work in this way has reinforced my belief in the inerrancy, sufficiency, and authority of every word of Scripture. I have recently discovered another layer to the inspiration and profitability of all Scripture. This layer is found by embracing as a whole, the Bible as a whole, all scripture, if you will. Training in righteousness comes from reading and understanding the entire Bible, not merely reading some of its decontextual parts. The path, the depth of individual scripture passages only increases as the believer understands them in context of the whole. And by reading the entirety of the Bible, we become more familiar with the scripture as we discover many connections and repetitions and similarities and themes and patterns. We observe theological developments and watch God's plan of redemption unfold. Further, many aspects of God's consistent character come into view as we witness His faithfulness again and again, understood within the rest of Scripture. All the individual passages come together to form a rich tapestry, which is beautiful in its parts, but even more beautiful when seen as a whole. And the promise then of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 comes to bear, right? When we see all of Scripture as it comes in, and the whole scope of Scripture, the promise here is that the whole thing, there's a way in which even all of it together, when you see the whole arc of the story, it equips us, it trains us, it reproves us, corrects us, equips us for every good work. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about having a Bible reading congregation and take leading others, right, to read through the whole Bible. My message this morning, why am I passionate about that? Because I'm passionate for your training in righteousness. I want you all to be equipped to walk in righteousness. I want God to correct you and reprove you and walk you on the right path. And what's the way to do that? Well, exposition each week, certainly, and encourage you in Bible reading, Bible quotes. But I think, according to this verse, all Scripture will do that as well. And there may be some ways. As you read through some things, like just right on through, like, oh, I didn't really want to read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but it may be that God uses that in some ways in your life to help you. And I want you all to be trained in godliness. That's why this morning, I just want you to consider reading through the Bible. Yes, read your verses, read your chapters, but just maybe 2025 is going to be a year that you read the whole thing. Now, one of the difficulties of reading through the Bible, it's a big book. It's not the sort of thing you sit down and read this afternoon. We had Thanksgiving in Iowa, and I heard something about the greatest Christmas pageant ever book, and that Dallas Jenkins, I think, is doing a movie on. I heard this in World and Everything in it. When I said, the book is like an hour and a half long reading. I pulled out my Hoopla, pulled it up, and I listened to that thing on my way home. So I was driving. Like, oh, I can finish that book in a drive. You can't do that with the Bible. It's a big book. You can't read it this afternoon. Even if you take a week, it's difficult to read because it's a big book. I mean, I'm not sure how many pages I've got. We're pushing over 1,000 pages. It's a lot. And so you need a strategy. And that's why I have pushed this idea of summaries. That's why I've pushed this. Because when you read through, if you just take a little bit of a moment, go back and say, what did I just read? And then force yourself to write something down. There's a way in which that kind of helps you go along. And then when you have something like this, I can tell you the story of Judges just by reading through this, kind of like the Cliff Notes. You're making your own Cliff Notes versions. I could tell you the story of Judges just by reading this. And it would take us about 2 minutes maybe to read through the whole book of Judges on the summaries that I have made. And the value of this isn't so much that this is good. The value for you is if you do this, think about good for you. If you have some summaries of just what you read in the scriptures, writing it down, it forces us to slow down. Then the value of doing this in a group is there's a way in which we can help and encourage each other as we go along. I've seen several people say, I'm going to read the Bible. Steve, you used to your group, but I'm going to read through the Bible this year on my own. And you know what happens? It doesn't happen. Nothing happens. They try and they get to Leviticus and it's like, they can't do it. There's something about this little nudge, just a weekly accountability that helps get you through. And I know several people who've tried and been discouraged, but then this little group helps. And then this little group, if you kind of have a vision, you know what, I'm just going to read through. And if this past week was really busy, I don't need to go back and catch up. I'm going to get that next year when I go through the Bible. I want to get it next year. And super helpful if just have in your mind this vision, just kind of consistently just reading through the Bible. I'm just going to get that next time through. When you're going through page by page and you miss something, and then you go back the next year. I got it that year. And so in your summaries, you can see even gaps. I didn't do it this time. I'll get it next year. And you can fill it in the next year. So it's okay. You don't have to get everything in 1 year. And with that vision next year, that's why most of those who started in 2022 rejoined again for 2023. Some new people came, some people dropped out. But then 2024, most of the people who read through the scriptures read it again, right, joined that group again, and then there were some others that were added, but some dropped out. And so here we are, beginning anew, another year. Most of those who are in the scriptures, right, they're going to join us again. Do you get a pattern? Why would they join us again? I'm reading the Bible. Because it's super helpful to their souls, it's super encouraging, and they're finding it profitable and helpful. At this point, again, we're inviting you. This is our fifth year now, and the purpose of my message really is to invite you to read through the Bible with us beginning in January. And I'm preaching this message because I've seen such growth in people who have been involved in these groups, both from those who have been Christians a long time, and those have been Christians only a short time. And for me, I've read through the Bible many, many times. And I always find it useful almost every day. I know what passage I'm supposed to read. I spend some time in that passage and I summarize it. So what I'm going to do right now is let you hear from a testimony of someone who has been reading along with us, just so you might hear his testimony. So if we can get a microphone here, Ishtaban, why don't you come on up and just share what you have. I told Ishtaban he's got two to 5 minutes, and he told me it's 15. So we'll see how long he goes. 45.
All right. Good morning. Thank you. I just want to take a couple minutes, not 45, but I think it's 5 minutes, 40 seconds, long to share how being part of the Bible reading group has helped me grow in my faith. Many of you already know and heard me a couple times, but those who don't, on November 29, 2022, my life has changed. Yeah, I didn't grow up as a Christian, but my mother was a strong believer, and she always pointed me toward God. But back then, I didn't really understand what that meant. She had such a deep faith, but I wasn't ready to listen. Exactly 2 years and 2 days ago, my mother died in my arms. Her loss hit me hard. And it was in the middle of that grief, I realized how much she had tried to show me a different way, God's way. As I faced the pain of losing her, I began to see God for the first time. And in that time of deep sadness and emptiness, I found myself at the end of my own strength, and that's when God met me. In that moment, I noticed my mother's Bible laid on the table in front of me, and I started to read from it. At that time, all I wanted was to learn from the Bible so that I can grow in faith. I prayed and I asked God for a Bible teaching church. I searched online and my prayers were answered. It was such a blessing to find Rock Valley Bible Church. Pastor Steve introduced me to Daily Auto Bible with Brian. And he told me about the Bible reading groups, exactly what I needed. When I first became a Christian, 2 years ago, I'll be honest, I had no idea where to start with the Bible. I knew it was important, but the thought of reading through the whole thing felt a little overwhelming. Then when I joined the Bible reading group in March of 2023, it completely changed how I approached Scripture. I began reading the Bible systematically, meeting every week online for an hour with Steve, Alf, and Wayne. I wasn't sure I'd actually finish, but having the group for encouragement and accountability made all the difference. We would discuss what we were reading, what is going on in our lives, share insights, discuss our summaries, and encourage one another to keep going. But also, what really helped me is that I was learning from mature Christians who read a Bible. Every book I read, I felt like a new adventure, especially since I had never read the Bible before. I remember being amazed at how much God's Word started to connect the stories, the teachings, and the way everything points to Jesus. What's kept me going is not just the group, but tools like the Daily Audio Bible. Listening each day has helped me stay consistent, brought Scripture alive in a new way. Hearing the Bible read aloud has added a layer of understanding and often gives me a fresh perspective of familiar passages. But this journey has completely changed how I approach the Bible. It's no longer intimidating or something I feel I should do. It's something I look forward to. Reading through the Bible this way has not only deepened my faith, but also equipped me to step out in ministry. This December, I'll be leading the jail ministry for the first time, and I feel so much more prepared because of what I've learned and the confidence I now have in God's Word. And now, I can say I've done it. On March 16 of this year, I read through the whole Bible, and I am continuing on my second year. It's interesting, but I'd like to quote again 2 Timothy 16:17, again, which says, 3:16-17, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That verse really sums up what this journey has been for me. God's word isn't just a word on a page. It's alive and it changes you. There were so many moments where I would read something and I think, wow, that's exactly what I needed today. It's been such an encouragement and a reminder that God speaks to us right where we are through His Word. If you never read the Bible, the whole Bible before, I really want to encourage you to give it a try. It's not as intimidating as it seems, and it's so worth it. Being part of this group made it doable for me, and it's helped me grow in ways I didn't think were possible. Thank you for letting me share, and I hope this inspires you to dive into God's Word. Maybe you're on your own or with a group like ours. Thank you.
You think about it. Ishtvan is one who knew nothing about the Bible. I remember he came in March, starts reading through Numbers. Like, he just plopped right down. And you're not going to remember, you're not going to understand, which kept on through, and then going through Numbers. I remember you commented the second time through Numbers. Oh, now I understand. Now it kind of comes to pass. It's a way of maturing people. It's leading a prison ministry. Just encourage you all. And just know that that's what happens in the life of a new, super exciting. We watched Ishtvan. Then we're getting to Judges. Joshua, he had no idea what Joshua was about, no idea what Judges was about, no idea what 1 Kings was about, 1 Samuel, but now he knows what they're about. And for you, and for me, it's helpful just even to see that afresh and to read it through again and again. Well, one of the greatest helps to me in reading through the Scriptures has been an audio podcast I found, Daily Audio Bible, a guy named Brian. This is Brian. That's who he is. And he reads through a Bible in a year. And I've listened to this podcast for probably a decade now. I mean, not every day. Certainly every day in the last 4 years. But before then, most often, listening through Daily Audio Bible. How easy it is. You just write on your phone. Right there. You say, oh, what should I read? Well, I'm going to start with whatever he's reading. And then you can read and you can get yourself ready in the morning. Or you can blast it in the shower, like Yvonne sometimes does. Or you can get it when you drive. I listened to it on the way here this morning. Daniel chapter 8 was read this morning. And 1 John chapter 2. And Psalm 120. And then some verse in Proverbs. And like, I do that consistently on my way to church. What I just listen to on the way. It's super easy. When we started these groups, we just said, hey, let's follow Daily Audio Bible. It's super easy. You just listen to this. And whatever he goes through that week, that's what we'll talk about that week. That's proved very helpful. And what's particularly helpful, it's interesting, is it's not a studio recording. So today is December 1st. And so Brian just talked about how we got a new month. We're stepping into this new month. And it's afresh. And it's the Christmas season. And it's, I forget what he said, day number 330 in the calendar year. He's just talking about what's going through. He's talking about Christmas, talking about life. And sometimes he'll talk about the weather. Sometimes he'll talk about the holiday celebrations or the elections coming up or things like that. And the freshness helps a lot. So last year, Yvonne and I took this concept to junior high students. Yvonne's teaching Bible at Hallstrom once a week workshop. And so I wrote this book called My New Testament Summaries, which is the same deal, just a little bit of an introduction overview and then a lot of just blank pages for you to fill in as you just read through the New Testament. And what we did, following after Brian and seeing an audio podcast helps, is that we created our own daily audio Bible, if we call it Read Through the New Testament, and we read through it out loud. And so the students, part of their class, as they thought through the New Testament, we would read it for them. They'd kind of read along and they'd follow. We'd help them with their summaries just over the podcast, what it was, and then they were helped by that along the way. At the beginning of class, there were about 20 students, 20 junior highers. How many of you read through the whole New Testament? And 2 hands went up. And just this class and this audio and weekly accountability and a little bit of a summary. At the end of class, I said, how many of you read through the New Testament? And all 20 hands went up. There's just something how it works. And I was amazed how well the students kept up with their reading. We said, no tests in this class. Your only test is that you fill out a summary for every chapter. And they did, and they all got A's. And we didn't have to push them. Like, they figured this out and how it's doing. If they weren't there because of sickness, they listened to the podcast and they just get it done. Some families even began listening to our Read Through the New Testament podcast together, and they just talked about it. They made it part of their family devotions and just commended us on that. And the positive feedback of that was pretty overwhelming. It was very overwhelming that I wrote another book entitled My Old Testament Summaries. Genesis through Solomon, which, by the way, is just a few pages of introduction, and then I put some more pictures in here, but just a lot of just pages to fill in. It's the same stuff, same routine, and we're going Genesis through Solomon. It's kind of different genres there, whatever. Then we'll go Rehoboam through Malachi is next year we're going to do that. And Yvonne and I, we have done a podcast called Read Through the Old Testament, where we've been reading through the Old Testament and trying just to explain along the way and encourage along the way. And I have found great delight in this, and I trust you have as well. We sit down to do our Old Testament reading, and it's been very delightful for me. It has not been a burden at all, because think about what it's done. It's caused me to sit down with my wife and read through the whole Old Testament together. Married folks, does that sound like something good that you would like to do in your family? Sit down and read the whole Bible together. And put on tapes for your grandchildren. So my grandchildren, when they take their naps nowadays, when Mimi goes down on Fridays, what do they listen to? She pulls up, read through the Old Testament, read through, and they can hear Mimi and Grandpa read through the Bible together. And so it's been such a blessing. This has not been a burden at all. And these high school students, they've hung with us through Leviticus. They all got there. And through Numbers, it's pretty hard to... There's just something about the audio component combined with just a little bit of writing down summaries with a weekly accountability to keep you on track. And I want to extend this opportunity to you all. If this is something you say, I want to do this 2025, that's great. Just talk to me, talk to Yvonne. We'll see who's interested. We'll form groups accordingly, figure out how and when and where... Groups can meet, it can be online, it can be in person, whatever, it doesn't, however you do that. But this year, by the way, we're going to go through a little bit of a change. The past 4 years, we've read through the entire Bible each year, but it has been overwhelming in some regards. Just the whole Bible in a whole year has been pretty overwhelming. And so what we're going to do is we're going to slow things down. So, and I think it's good for change. We have changed this Advent season with a bulletin. It's changed just to read a different schedule. That's wonderful. What we're going to do is we're going to read through half of the Bible in 2025 and the other half of the Bible in 2026. So I have schedules of what we're going to do. You can look at them. They're on the back table. You can grab them. We're going to do Psalms and Proverbs during the weekends. Other than that, we're going to read through I got Genesis first, then we're going to read through Exodus, and then when Exodus is done, we're going to read through Matthew, and then we're going to Leviticus and Numbers, and then we're going to read through Mark, and then Deuteronomy, and then Luke, and then Joshua, and Judges, and just Ruth, and then John. So we're going to just go back and forth, New Testament, begin a book, and read it through the whole way. And since there's no podcast available for our schedule, which we did, which I wrote up using Excel and trying to figure out how we to equal readings the whole time, Yvonne and I are going to podcast this again, and we're going to call it Read Through the Bible. It's there. If you look on your podcast, not right now, but give it about 5 minutes, then I'll be done. You look for Read Through the Bible. We dropped our first episode, and our next episode will drop on January 1st. And we have enjoyed so much reading through the New Testament, and we're reading through the Old Testament, that we're going to do this again. It's not a burden. I figured out podcasting. It's really fun for us to do as we do this. But one of the things that's been good is to read it out loud forces me, us, to focus, to read every word slowly and carefully, read together, and it's been a delight. And so the podcast's up and going. You can subscribe. I hope I put it up right now so that you can subscribe and at least hear our first episode if you want to. If you say, hey, that sounds really interesting, I don't know a thing about podcasts, I have a computer background. I think I can help you figure out how to get podcasts up and going. It's basically every day. You just press the button and today's reading pops on up. And there's something else, though, I want to do with this podcast. At Rock Valley Bible Church, I have done something to try to cultivate a culture within our church with the weekly word. Ethan, I sent you the weekly word. You said, how long, it just new to church, but this is your third Sunday. How long have you been sending that out? I said, I don't know, every week, maybe 15 years, something like that. It is the way that we communicate. It's a way for me to communicate a heart of what's going on, giving a vision of what's going up, filling with pictures like I did this last week of the turkey bowl this past Friday, giving you some good reading material or some helpful videos or some highlighting some family in our church, what they've done, so you can talk to them, giving prayer requests, updates. It's the Week of the Word, comes out every Friday. I really encourage you to read it. It cultivates our culture around here. I would like, with this podcast, to begin working at a similar sort of culture, where all of you might, whether you're reading through the Bible in a group or not, you just say, okay, well, at least I can listen to 10 or 15 minutes a day is all it is. Listen to Steve and Yvonne read through the scriptures. Whether you're driving, doing the dishes, your morning routine, you're exercising, you're working in the lawn, just whatever it is, read through the Bible. Did you read the Weekly Word? Yeah, that comes out on Friday. Did you listen to read through the Bible? I did. And then, think about the number of people that, if you know, kind of maybe are reading and thinking about the same things. And to help engage you all, I kind of envision having some guests on the podcast. And I envision having some of you on that podcast as well. Just so you can introduce yourself to the church and talk about maybe something coming up with your life. And I envision, right, someone heard Read Through the Bible podcast and then comes to church the next Sunday when, whatever, Darren would read it. And so, Darren, I didn't realize you're working on this project at home. And yeah, here, I know a little bit about this. Or I got this extra tool I can help or whatever. Like, oh, that, tell me about that. Like, just to spread who we are. I'm not sure how often people will be, but there'll be different guests. And you can just say, hey, I heard you this week on the podcast. You know, you did a great job. And just super easy, 10 to 15 minutes when you're doing just whatever you're doing. I know that we did that with Read Through the New Testament when I was doing that class. I was in Nepal for some of that, and I grabbed some Nepali readers, and I just said, would you like to read for me? And they loved it. And the students in the class heard some native Nepalis reading the scripture together. It was something that was great. So wouldn't it be wonderful if we as a church just had a vision and direction of something to read? Now, if you have your own plan and you got something working for you, I'm 100% behind you. If you say, no, I don't listen to that podcast, Steve, that's totally fine, okay? But I hope to get some steam here where there are enough people reading that it becomes a part of our culture of our church that really helps, because when you're reading it, you can be thinking about, hey, other people are reading this, thinking about this as well. And if you want to join a group to help with some accountability, wonderful. If all you're going to do is listen to the podcast, wonderful. If all you're going to do is read on the schedule, wonderful. If all you're going to do is take this and throw it in the trash, fine. Just make sure you're reading the Bible, meditating on it day and night. Okay, I got to finish with this guy, Robert Murray McShane. He's a pastor in England in the 1800s, known for his godliness and zeal for the Lord. Listen to what his Wikipedia page says. Perhaps no minister in the Church of Scotland is better remembered for his saintliness of his character, the anxious devotion which influenced the whole of his short ministry, and the success which everywhere accompanied his efforts as a preacher of the gospel. He died at age 29 in 1853, but made such a huge impact on people that those around him were impacted. Now, one of the things he did was he wrote up a reading schedule for his church. He distributed his church that some of you follow. I think you're a McShane reader. Darren, yes? McShane? No, you're not. Okay. How many of you know McShane Reading Plan? Okay. Good. Good. You guys are reading. It's great. It's Old Testament. I'm trying to remember. Old Testament. It's got a family reading and a public reading, or individual reading, private reading, public reading. It's a lot, though. It takes you through a lot of the New Testament twice in a year. It's really overwhelming. But it's a great plan. But I just want to mention him because his vision is a little bit of what I have with this podcast as well that might help us, the church. He published this reading plan and he put out some dangers and advantage. He said, dangers. First danger, formality. Just reading the Bible because some fixed rule and you don't delight in it. You're missing Psalm 1 about you're delighting in it. Psalm 19, it's better than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. He said, just that's formality. Don't just read it to think you got to read it. Don't read it because Pastor Steve said I need to listen to this podcast. No, I don't. I didn't. I'm just saying I would like you to. I think it'd be helpful. But formality is a danger. Second danger, self-righteousness. Thinking that, oh, I've read through the Bible. I've read through the Bible all year. Look how good I am. That's a danger. It's not true. Third, careless reading. Reading without trembling at God's word, but realizing that what we have is we have God's very word, and he looks upon those who tremble at his word, Isaiah 66. Fourth, another danger, it's a yoke too heavy to bear. He said, for some, reading this much of the Bible is really difficult. And if it's too difficult for you, I am 100% sympathetic, and that is just fine. If technology is not your thing, 100% fine. I know my father, who listens to my message as well, for him, earbuds just doesn't work for an 89-year-old. He's tried it, like in the workshop. Steve, you talk about how you put earbuds in the workshop. He just can't do it. He cannot do that. I'm okay. If audio doesn't work for you, that's fine. If reading too much, that's fine. Whatever you can do. If you got your own plan, wonderful. Go at it. Grow in godliness. Those are the dangers. But he also has some advantages, and I just want to close with these five advantages of such a podcast and what it might do with us in a church and you. First of all, he says this. The advantage is the whole Bible will be read through an orderly manner in the course of a year. And then he writes to his congregation, I fear that many of you never read the whole Bible. And yet it is equally divine. If we pass over some parts of Scripture, we shall be incomplete Christians. I don't fully agree with that. I said if you just have Psalm 23, you can be okay. But if you willfully neglect passages, I'm like, why are you neglecting those passages? Maybe God has some things for you. Second advantage. Time will not be wasted in choosing what portions to read. Oftentimes, believers are at a loss to determine towards which part of the mountains of spices they should bend their steps. Love that picture. Which part of the mountain of spices they should bend their steps. Here the question will be resolved in a very simple manner, right? Here's the schedule. You just look at the schedule. Or if you just listen to whatever it's said on that day, you know what it is. Third, parents will have a regular subject upon which to examine their children and servants. It is much to be desired that family worship were made more instructive than it generally is. And you can do this for family worship. You can do it around your dinner. You can talk. Fourth, the pastor will know in what part of the pasture the flock are feeding. He will thus be able to speak more suitably to them on the Sabbath. Now, over the years, I have referred to sometimes what Daily Audio Bible has been reading, what we're doing. If we're all together, more on that, I can refer to that more, knowing that you've just read that and tying the Scripture together in messages or letters or notes or whatever. Fifth, the sweet bond of Christian love and unity will be strengthened. We shall often be led to think of those dear brothers and sisters in the Lord here and elsewhere who agree to join us with reading these portions together. Well, that's my hope, that we all might read the Bible, or at least listen to the same podcast, same text. And you can go, if it's so short during the day, you can go on and read your other things. It's totally fine. But as we read or listen, we can think of others in the church family who are reading and listening to the same thing, whether they are involved in a group or not. And my aim, my hope, is that, as McShane said, the sweet bond of Christian love and unity will be strengthened. Thank you for your patience. A long message is a burden of my heart. I wanted to give it in December so you have time to think about it and really see if that's however you want to be involved. But that's what we're aiming to do. Read through the Scripture in 2 years. Audio podcast. Some of you be involved and be along. So it becomes part of our culture, like the weekly word, the Read Through the Bible podcast. It's not a burden to me. It's a joy to be able to do that. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would dig your word deep into our hearts. God, that we would be those who would take your word and eat it as Jeremiah did, as John did in the Revelation, and find it sweet. God, even though some of its realities might be bitter and hard, I pray, God, that you would help us 2025, 2026 to read through the Bible, trying to make it as effortless, as seamless, as easy as possible. I pray, oh God, that this would become part of our culture as a church, that we would be a Bible reading culture, just reading through the Bible, not just merely being Bible quoters, not just being familiar with what the Bible we read 5 years ago, but daily, freshly reading the Scriptures, listening to Scriptures that might stir our hearts, God, to love and good deeds, that trains us for all godliness, reproves us, corrects us, trains us, God, that we might walk in godliness and righteousness in your way. So God, ask for your hand of blessing to move how you will in this church for your glory. Thank you for a potluck that we will have. I pray it would be a good and profitable and enjoyable time. Help us to form relationships and bonds that we might love and serve one another. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.